everyone, and welcome to 2024, which I am dubbing the year of accountability. That's right, the people have not stopped calling for accountability for COVID crimes, and that is indicative by the news that I'm bringing you today. Last year, you may remember Senator Malcolm Roberts announced that the Senate had approved his motion to establish an inquiry to report on recommended terms of reference for a COVID-19 Royal Commission. This is fantastic news, and every single one of us is in support of this, but we want to make sure that the integrity of the Royal Commission is preserved, and that includes the people coming together to demand their terms of reference. Cue in Dr. Duncan Syme, Julian Gillespie, and Professor Ian Brighthope, who join us today after this short break to discuss exactly what they're doing about it to make sure that this is in the people's hands and not in the hands of just the government. We'll be back after a moment. Z Media is proud to partner with freedom-loving businesses like Gold Bullion Australia Group, Australia's leading dealer of gold and silver bullion. In such uncertain times in the market, many are switching to lasting physical assets like gold and silver rather than depending on the crumbling financial system. GBA Group is an Aussie partner you can trust. They have a huge range of available gold and silver at competitive prices, a friendly, experienced team on standby for all of your questions, are family-owned and have been specialising in precious metals for over 40 years. They're looking forward to helping anyone that has come from Z Media, so click the link in the description below. Visit one of their offices now spread across Sydney, the Gold Coast, Brisbane, Melbourne and Singapore, or call 1300 618 363 and consider securing your wealth today. We're joined now by Dr. Duncan Syme, Julian Gillespie and Professor Ian Brighthope to discuss this monumental time in Australian history, a proposed terms of reference for a Royal COVID-19 Commission. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Maria.
Thanks for having us on, Maria.
It's great to see you all. Well, I just shared this, started sharing it all over social media as well. Julian, maybe you want to give us a little bit of a background. What does this mean for Australia? I mean, there are a trove of organisations backing this right now, as we can see from the website. Talk to us about these proposed terms of reference in the background.
Okay, thanks, Maria. So, yes, we're very fortunate that Senator Malcolm Roberts was able to get the numbers together in the Senate back in September, which included his political opponents agreeing on a vote with him that the Senate Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee receive instructions, orders, in other words, from the Senate requiring that committee to investigate and examine what are the appropriate terms of reference for a proposed COVID-19 Royal Commission. And so that committee is now charged with that examination. But what was odd is that the date for lodging submissions is in 12 January, which is right in the middle of the school holidays. This is the time of year where a lot of parents are still out with their kids. And so we anticipated that was a bit of a stitch up so they could just take the public unaware. And so we took it upon ourselves to start about 60 days ago, just the long process, necessary and long process of consultation with Australia's leading, you know, medical and scientific elite who have been working away in the background over all the controversies with respect to COVID, SARS-CoV-2, and the bad science and the mismanagement by government over the last, well, since 2020, really. And we went to a good chunk of those people who we've come to know very, very well as friends and colleagues through the other litigation that you know that our team's been involved in. And there was a good stock of 60 of them. And I started the skeleton off and I said, well, we've got to fill in all the detail so a properly empowered Royal Commission knows exactly every single stone to turn over to shine the light on, particularly the conduct of the federal government, the state government and territory governments and all the agencies that were tasked to manage us through this apparent pandemic, this apparent threat to all this, you know, the health and life of all Australians. We all know now in retrospect, there was no true pandemic and there was an extraordinary successful campaign of fear and fear mongering by our authorities using lockdown measures to place such oppression on the Australian people that they would ultimately relent seeking freedom by taking experimental gene therapy products. And so everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And as a consequence, thousands upon thousands, indeed tens of thousands of Australians are now left in the wake of that government interference in our life, dead. So in order to ensure that this committee is properly informed, we took all the advices, opinions, and questions from these eminent professors of science, doctors of science, as you see in that document on the landing page, on the first couple of pages. They are all listed there, so everybody knows who the co-authors are of that document, to see that quite a deal of Australian expertise, thought, and time has gone into the creation of what ended up being 107 pages. And that's the brief version. But of course, we need to provide something to the committee that is manageable. So that document, we approached our good friends, the Australian Medical Professional Society, of whom Dr. Duncan Syme is the vice president. We shared the document and we said, what do you think? And they said, well, goddamn, that's a piece of art and it needs to be shared with the Australian community, but we need to share it with all of the other organisations who have tried to sustain, retain, and find freedom for Australians. And of course, we've seen so many organisations come into existence, Reignite Democracy, Club Grubbery, Graham Hood and John Larder, just by virtue of being mandated out. All these great organisations which have, you know, brought people together. Well, we went to them and shared the document and we said, what do you think? And they said, we've got to share this with our members and the rest of the Australian public. And so for the first time, we see this gathering, this collaboration of 19 organisations that you see listed at the top of the landing page, which will appear in the show notes afterwards. They're all unified in promoting and recommending that all Australians review these terms of reference, which are readily accessible. That is to say, they're easy to read, and acknowledge that they are really all the questions that a Royal Commission needs to ask of all of our political leaders and the heads of the departments who meddled and got so thoroughly into our lives where they stopped our lives. And at the end of that landing page, there's an opportunity for Australians to be co-signatories. So where we currently have 42 of scientific and medical authors, we need co-signatories. We're not asking for people's email addresses or telephone numbers. We just want your full name. Your full name, where it's currently 107 pages, your full name will be included as a co-signatory on the document. Now, we're currently sitting, we've only been running this for a few days and we've only got until Friday. We're currently sitting somewhere around about 15,000 signatures, but there's a lot of interviews that are hitting the internet and social media today, including one that we did with Malcolm Roberts earlier today, Graham Hood and John Larter last night, Cafe Lockout last night. Parents' questions are on board. We did TNT Radio and Stand Up Australia. And so people have to, you know, have an opportunity to get home, have time and watch those things. When they do, we're finding they're jumping on. So please, everybody who's watching this, go and review it and become a co-signatory to commend these terms of reference to the committee, because the critical point here is, and it's spelt out in stark terms in just the opening preamble on the page, and I'll just recite this one portion. Australians want a royal commission created by Australians, not a royal commission created by the public servants it is meant to examine. And be sure that the public servants do not want to undergo scrutiny, and particularly Prime Minister Tony Albanese. This is the last thing that he wants. He's thrown us a bone with his PM's COVID inquiry, which people could put submissions in early last December, limited to 3 pages for a panel that he's handpicked. That's the equivalent of going to a bent cop and saying, can you please investigate yourself if you've done anything wrong? Okay. Yes. It's exactly the same. This is why we need an independent Royal Commission, which is a standalone court. Let's be very clear, with all the powers of the judiciary to undertake an independent examination of anything that went wrong. And we're suggesting in the terms of reference that a few things did go wrong. The committee, by seeing thousands upon thousands of co-signatories will get the message. These are the terms of reference that Australia wants. Tony Albanese, in the meantime, after this Royal Commission inquiry into terms of reference was announced, he went and tapped on the shoulder, or had his office tap on the shoulder, 160 other federal and state departments, and gave them instructions, put in massive submissions to this committee. So he's currently trying to swamp this committee, overload it with just government rhetoric.
Wow.
For trying to set up a phony royal commission, so they end up patting themselves on the back and giving themselves a gold star for a super performance in managing Australians' lives during the pandemic. We know that's not true, and we need the committee to understand, don't buy the bullshit, buy what Australians want to see. So with that, I'll pass it over to our other guests.
But before we go there, just really quickly, the reason this is so crucial, in my opinion, is because if the government comes back and as you said, Julian, pats themselves on the backs for what a great job they did during COVID, and, you know, taking the advice of the World Health Organization, just this week, I'm releasing an interview about how the WHO has a deadline until the 27th of January to make their submissions under Article 55 of the International Health Regulations, 4 months before the May World Health Assembly. And they're now already saying, oh, we're not going to meet the deadline, we need an extension. Well, guess what, WHO, if you don't meet this deadline, your international health regulations are null and void. And so, but the government is receiving a lot of pressure from Australians right now to exit the WHO. If they come back and say, we did a great job in collaboration with the WHO, that is a serious problem for Australia. And so we need to highlight what a disaster this was, especially now. Dr. Syme, maybe you want to chime in there.
Well, Maria, I've got to say that this document is immensely comprehensive and thorough, and I recommend to all your viewers that they look at it and sign it. As Julian says, we have to have an independent judicial review of what, you know, what went wrong over the last 3.5-4 years. And if we don't do that, we're not going to, you know, we're going to move in a very, very dark direction. So, I mean, the document, I've read through it, and it looks at every possible angle where things have gone wrong, where things have been influenced, where the risk benefit has not been, where we're asking where was the risk benefit analysis done, the impact of making decisions of closing down schools and destroying education of our children. Obviously, the economics of all these bureaucrats and government decisions, which is now causing major financial woes to ordinary Australians. Essentially, this is one of the main vehicles where we're going to see accountability and justice for all those Australians that have been injured through these appalling public health decisions by government and health bureaucrats. It wasn't the man-made virus which caused schools to be closed down. It wasn't the man-made virus that forced masking. It wasn't the man-made virus that locked you in the home. It wasn't the man-made virus that shot bullets at innocent protesters. It wasn't the man-made virus that stopped safe and effective treatments being rolled out to the population in ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. It wasn't the man-made virus which, stopped people getting proper vitamin D and other nutraceuticals and public health advice, which would have made a difference to people's health. It was all came from bureaucrats and government, and it is now time that they actually face the consequences of their decisions.
Agreed. Professor Brighthope, I know that you've been really speaking out from the start of all of this. You were, one of the first, if not the first, no, not the first, but one of the first Australian doctors that I interviewed. Could you talk to us about what do you think are the key highlights of this document?
You're on mute, Professor.
Sorry. Thanks. The document asks all the relevant questions to expose the information, malinformation and disinformation that the government has fed us for the last 4 years. Basically, the issues are all covered by this document, and I encourage everybody, family, friends, all Australians, spread the document around as much as you possibly can. Please sign it. We need large numbers of signatures, because large numbers of signatures convince politicians that there is a problem in the community, and the community wants the problem solved. And also, Maria, I've said many times, never, ever again. Never, ever again. I mean, I was pulled up by some of my Jewish friends when I said never again, because that applies to Holocaust number one. So I've added never, ever again to my lexicon, because I don't want to see the foolhardiness and reckless behaviour of politicians, bureaucrats, and people in my profession who are supposed to be leaders do what they did from March 2020 onwards. We could have prevented this, as I've said, Maria, to you and others many, many times. This could have been finished in 8 weeks. It was a common cold virus that was behaving a little worse for some people who were very elderly and those who had comorbidities. These people should have been isolated, quarantined, and the rest of us infected with the COVID virus so that we could move on and not waste $500 billion plus in the damages that have been done to our economy, the damages being done to our patients, the damages being done to the Australian population, both physical, mental, and spiritual, and the retardation of our children. The injection of these experimental vaccines is something that I abhorred right from the start. I said no, no to mRNA, no to experimental injections, no to injections that contain contaminants, including DNA, that we don't know the effects of in the short, intermediate, and long term. But we certainly know that there is an increase in sickness, an increase in new diseases, an increase in cancer, an increase in unexplained, unexpected deaths. And I will say openly to you now, in my humble opinion, looking at all of the data and the facts and interpreting the facts and data and witnessing friends of mine getting sick and or dying as a consequence of the vaccines, I will say the vaccines are deadly. And I've called for their withdrawal a long time ago, and I was probably one of the first to use the term. I believe there is not just a simple genocide like during the Second World War, but more importantly, a democide, which is the whole population has been attacked by a substance that is potentially deadly. I want to ask the questions. I want the facts and data brought before a royal commission so that we can actually see the truth emerge. If we don't see the truth emerge, basically our society is going to be virtueless. We need to make sure that people everywhere see this document and sign it. We could have prevented early treatment. And I've seen and witnessed patients dying in hospital because the doctors refused to give them the life-saving nutraceuticals rather than the drugs that they were using to kill them.
I recall hearing stories of doctors refusing to give patients vitamin C when they're ill. They flat out refused, pushed for remdesivir. I mean, the list goes on and on without reliving everything that they did during that time, but we actually have to relive it in the proper format. And this is, I suppose, what this entire interview is about. So I want to ask Julian, because people may need a bit of clarification. This is not necessarily a COVID-19 Royal Commission. This is the step before it, correct?
This is the step in that direction. So every Royal Commission in the past, and I must say and that we've had a good history generally with the outcomes of Royal Commissions that we've undertaken, and we've sufficiently empowered past Royal Commissions. But every Royal Commission starts with a scoping exercise to work out what are the appropriate terms of reference. And so that's what the Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee is tasked to undertake. When they return their they will return a report to the Senate, reporting back to the Senate as a whole. And so all the senators in the Australian Parliament will receive their recommendations. How long that process takes is a little bit unknown. Part of our terms of reference submissions or requests to this committee is urging the committee to allot sufficient time to listen to briefly expert witnesses to bring them up to speed on why certain terms of reference must be included. Because let's face it, you know, not every Senate member of this committee has all the science and medical expertise to appreciate what we're really seeking with some of these terms of reference. So it should reasonably take several months at a minimum for this committee to perform its task. It's competing against what is this bogus tidal wave of government submissions that are coming in, which are all going to be in one direction, saying, oh, didn't we do a great job? Can we just confirm that? Well, this is what the signatories, co-signatories of your viewers will assist the committee to get focused on. But anyway, so just say several months from now, the committee will return a report to the Senate. Then all the senators have to consider the report and then agree to draft up a bill. Now, let's be clear, Malcolm Roberts managed to get support from his opposition senators for this to occur. As further information comes to light, for instance, as Professor Breithaupt mentioned, the extensive and excessive DNA contamination within the Pfizer and Moderna vials. And we're not joking around here, folks. By volume, up to 35% of what's in one little vial contains something that shouldn't be there at all. It's synthetic DNA contamination. It's a residue left over from the manufacturing process. And we can inform you that synthetic DNA found in the Pfizer vials, for instance, it contains particular genetic sequences which ensure its entry into the nucleus, the SV40 promoter and the enhancer. Now, that's part of separate proceedings that Katie Ashby-Copins and I still have on foot in the Federal Court of Australia, where we are suing Pfizer and Moderna because they did not go and seek GMO licenses before seeking provisional approval from the TGA. What did I just say? GMO, genetically modified organism. Their drugs fulfill the legal definitions for being GMO in this country. That shouldn't be surprising, except nobody was informed. AstraZeneca went to get a GMO license from the Office of the Gene Technology Regulator, and they had to go through this very rigorous risk assessment process, which obviously failed, but they were given a GMO license. Then they went to the TGA. Most Australians weren't told that the AstraZeneca drug was a GMO. Were there anyone told that Pfizer and Moderna were GMOs? So that's the mRNA alone is a GMO. But we also find that there's DNA contamination.
I really want to add this in here because I just interviewed Dr. David Wiseman, who was a co-author of Kevin McKernan's paper on this topic.
David's feature.
David Wiseman is the doctor I interviewed, and he spoke about the SV40. He says DNA contamination essentially isn't even a sufficient word for how catastrophic this is. Contamination doesn't even adequately define how catastrophic this is. It is very likely the reason for the turbo cancers that we are seeing. And he also speaks about something called frame shifting, which is even worse. Yes. What we're talking about is literally catastrophic.
Yes. And so this information, we're working with teams in Australia and globally to raise the public awareness. We're fighting against a misinformation campaign from governments on every continent because they've been informed directly of this contamination and now they're freaking out because it's all about legal liability and their political parties being held responsible, which they have to be held responsible. You do something wrong and you're a citizen, they want to throw you in jail. But what? When you're a government and you do something wrong, you should what? Just walk and say, oh, sorry, we tried our best? No. There's too much intention involved here because the detection of the synthetic DNA contamination alone were super simple and must have been known in late 2020 by both Pfizer and Moderna, because we worked out how easy it was to detect it. The tools were always there. And in fact, we found that the detection, the way that they reported to all the regulators about how they went about confirming contamination levels, they used specific tests to hide the extent of their DNA contamination, right? We've got this documented working with Kevin McKernan, who's an expert witness in our GMO proceedings. I just raised this, yes, catastrophic side story, which is going to become one of the major global stories in the not too distant future, in the not too distant months, that is to say, where once it's comprehended by Australian politicians of any party that this catastrophic event has occurred and infected their own children, contaminated their own children, contaminated their own family's gene line, the ability of their children to have kids, if they do, what the hell are they going to look like if they survive? Because we're talking about transgenic mutations here, not natural mutagenesis, correct, transgenic forced change to the human genome by integration into our natural chromosomes. Like, just get that. The human DNA well has been poisoned.
Yes.
My point of this is to say that by the time this committee presents its report to the Senate, all of this is going to be common knowledge about the DNA contamination as one issue. Then, yes, is the ribosomal frame shifting, which means these drugs have been producing not the synthetic spike protein, they've been doing a bit of that to everyone's detriment, but producing all these other mutant proteins, which the body just kills itself to try and kill. We've come into the perfect storm, as far as I'm concerned, and that is going to leach into, in fact, probably already has in a physical respect, into the bones of every Australian politician, where when they get this report, they're going to say, hell yes, we're going to have a COVID-19 Royal Commission, because even my own party needs to be held to account for what it's done to the Australian people. Poisoned Australia's DNA well. This is in every nation that they rolled these things out. And so, yes, there's a lot of political ground to cover after this committee has performed its task. The Senate's got to take it. It's got to turn it into a bill. Then they've got to send that bill down to the House of Representatives and ask the whatever party's in power to put it into legislation, pass it into legislation and properly empower a Royal Commission. There is so much controversy that we've just touched upon in the last few minutes. Any major party that tries to resist a proper and independent Royal Commission is going to be properly slaughtered come the next election for just trying to hide the bloody obvious.
I have to agree with you. No, that very good points, Julian. I know someone who's been working with members of the opposition party at the moment, really saying, you know, come next election, this is what the people are going to be expecting of you. And it really is the time. Mm. And I'll quickly mention this: in Canada at the moment, they've got a petition to exit the UN and the WHO as a consequence of that, because it's part of it. And the political party member that's working with them is a left-leaning person, not a conservative, not someone who you would think would be working with them. And so what's happened is, you know, people in the freedom movement, well, this person isn't a friend, you know, so on and so forth. It's like, no, hang on a minute. People are starting to wake up to how serious this is. We have more and more experts revealing that something has gone horrifically wrong here. The human genome now is in question, which is something that we were talking about from the start, potentially being a risk. And here we are, Frankenstein shots confirmed. And so we are going to have more people joining in who weren't typically, you know, on our side before, if you will. That is the case. This is the perfect time to use that political angle against future candidates, or to encourage, I should say, future candidates to support something like this. Dr. Syme, Professor Breithaupt, please, your closing words on this.
Well, once again, I mean, you know, there have been such gross abuses of Australian human rights and civil liberties. We need accountability. We need justice for all those who have been injured, and we need a royal commission. And this is a people's document. It's obviously you've had Julian, Peter Pham, and Katie Ashby Coppins who have put it together, but there's been 80 other. You know, scientists, economists, other professionals who have contributed to this very important document. And again, this is the first step in I suppose, reclaiming, you know, democracy.
Fantastic. Professor Brighthope.
I agree totally with Duncan, of course. And the document must be signed by as many people as possible. But I see an opportunity here also, because so many people have been damaged by the vaccine and are still alive. The doctors who are currently trained in Western medicine are finding it very, very difficult to treat these people because they don't know what they're dealing with. Yeah. But basically, I think we do need to have a retraining of our medical profession. We need to have a new definition of what healthcare is, separate to medical care and surgical care. And we need to look towards health optimization and optimizing individuals' health as well as the population's health when we next face a virus that is a little bit more toxic than the ones we've experienced in the past. So I also hope out of this that we have funding for more research. The research that I've been involved in with long COVID and COVID prevention and early treatment is good research. The government ignored it at their own peril, of course. But people are suffering because we do need to have more research into what we can do about the disturbances in genetic expression as a consequence of the incorporation of the mRNA and DNA into our systems. The turbo cancers, the autoimmune diseases, and the heart disease that we're seeing now is not easily treated with orthodox approaches. So some more funding in terms of research so that we can move forward as hopefully the healthiest continent on the earth.
Absolutely agree and echo all of those sentiments. I want to bring up the website right now. It's linked in, it's on the amps.redunion.com.au website, but I've linked that in the description below. I've signed this. As Julian said, all that's needed is your full name. You can put your contact details if you wish, but really what we need is more and more Australians to back this. Julian, when can people expect sort of, after this goes out and the deadline, when can people expect to know more? How do they stay updated?
Yeah, we'll keep the page alive after we've lodged the submission on Friday, and everybody will be able to see what the final submission looks like. If they've become co-signatures, they'll be able to verify that their name appears on the document, which is terrific. But this is a building story. More and more Australians, there's a large number of Australians who don't even know that a Royal Commission, proposed Royal Commission's on the table.
Yes.
So we're going to continue just informing generally, hey, you want some answers? Well, there's a Royal Commission, put some support behind it. So we'll submit the document with the signatories we get by Friday, and then we'll start it up again. So if anyone else wants to pile in too and be a late co-signatory, fantastic, because we may, for instance, on Friday have 25,000 or more co-signatories. That's what the committee will receive. When we continue to push the message out and still invite people to be additional co-signatories, within 1 month, we may have 100,000 signatures. So we will go and update the senators on that committee and say, look, we showed you 25,000 signatures, which we got together in 5 or 6 days before 12 January. But in the last month, a further 75,000 people have come on board. So just be aware, the Australian public's watching you. And they want to see that you do a good job. That's just to politely keep the heads on straight for these committee members. Like, we've already got Alex Antic on the committee. Fantastic. We know exactly that Alex is going to be in there batting for us for these sorts of terms of reference. And he's going to ignore as best he can the government submission nonsense. But these other senators we need to work with, and politely and respectfully. Now, in the event that they produce a report which largely reflects the terms of reference that we have provided and recommend to your viewers in this document, well, then that's going to be the next phase of the campaign, where we'll go to all of the senators receiving that report and say, this is where your political future and your money should be placed. This is what has to occur. So it's one of these, you know, it's this lobbying process. I never thought that I'd find myself in a lobbying position with Canberra. But we've got no choice. We've got to take the people's voice back to those who we elected to remind them who put them into their jobs.
Absolutely.
And that they need to implement the orders of their masters. They are public servants. The Australian people are their masters. That old legal relationship has never disappeared, except on this occasion with COVID, they burnt the social contract, turned the tables, and our servants became our masters and subjected us. They didn't protect us, they subjected us. So they've got to get back in their box, and a Royal Commission is the only way to definitively put all of them back in their boxes, Commonwealth, state, and territory, right down to local government level, because up here on the northern coast of New South Wales, we had the Byron Shire Council doing all the false narrative government messaging as well, which led parents and people who didn't have time to do the research any better into clinics they didn't need to attend, into car parks where strangers were putting needles into their arms for no good reason. And now the very integrity of their genetics is in question.
Let's not forget, you know, pushing for The Voice because they apparently care about Aboriginal people, but they were injecting them without gloves under a tree next to a pile of rubbish in the Northern Territory. So how's that for caring about Aboriginal people? And let me just clarify, Julian, that they absolutely are not our masters. I know they like to think they are, and I know that you were saying that they were displaying, you know, their behavior as though they are, but they never were. During COVID, they were not. They're not now. It has always been that the people are the employers, I should say, of these public servants. And so I'm grateful for the few that we have that understand that. Now it's time to educate the others. And it may take some work and some people who are, you know, talented at having diplomatic discussions, but they need to be put back in their place. And you're absolutely right. Again, the website to visit is amps.redunion.com.au. I've linked it in the description below. Please go sign and share this everywhere. You know, let's not limit it to 25,000 signatures. I would be very, very impressed if we got even to 30,000 in the next few days. So Australia, let's get it done. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Maria.
Z Media is proud to partner with Aussie businesses that support freedom and believe in you and your family getting the best possible nutrition you can. Stockman Steaks is a third-generation family meat business supplying direct from freedom-loving Aussie farmers with pasture-raised, non-genetically modified, humanely raised local meat. Their meats are guaranteed mRNA-free. That's right, no mRNA in these grass-fed, antibiotic, hormone-free animals. By buying from Stockman Steaks, you'll be supporting Aussie farmers who share your values and are committed to giving you the best quality meat. Head to their store to see their delicious range of carefully selected meat boxes or create your own. Visit stockmansteaks.com.au/Maria. Support businesses that support us and give your family the nutrition they deserve.